Here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 15th of June, 2010. It's the birthday of the folk singer and writer Christian Bauman, born in Easton, Pennsylvania, 1970, author of three well-regarded novels, all within the past decade, The Ice Beneath You, Voodoo Lounge, and In Hoboken. His mom was a doctor, his stepdad a philosophy professor, but the boy didn't do well in school, barely graduated from high school, never went to college, became a father while still a teenager, worked as a cook and a clerk and a copywriter, all sorts of manual labor, painted houses, watered plants at a corporate office. He would time his entry into the executive dining room so that he could help himself to the buffet. He was 21. He was in debt, had no health insurance. His young daughter needed an operation that he could not afford. So he joined the U.S. Army after he found out the Army would pay for the operation the little girl needed. He was shipped off to Somalia in 1992, took his typewriter along, later to Haiti. Spent 4 years in the Army, which formed the basis of his semi-autobiographical novel, The Ice Beneath You. It was on this day, 1992, Vice President Dan Quayle famously misspelled potato. At a grade school, New Jersey, it was a campaign stop. The school had staged a spelling bee for the vice president, brought in children from across the city. Quayle was handed a stack of index cards with spelling bee words to quiz the students. A sixth grader named William Figueroa was chosen to spell potato, went to the blackboard, wrote it out correctly. Dan Quayle looked down at the index card, which had the word spelled incorrectly, and he said to the boy, "You're close, but you left a little something off, the E on the end." The story ran across the country that the vice president didn't know how to spell potato, and it became one of the things for which Dan Quayle is most remembered. Here's a poem for today by Deborah Diggs, The House That Goes Dancing. Not always, but sometimes when I put on some music, the house, it goes dancing down through the yard to cha-cha the willows, or up into town to tango the churches. The neighbors, appalled, they call the police. The dog catcher chases my dogs up the street toward the house that goes dancing in raven black boots or enormous bed slippers, dragging one leg like an earnest old hunchback through the midsummer gardens, gathering garlands to wrap round her roof. She goes dancing love's house. She goes dancing her grief-stricken dance for his unpacked suitcases, his detritus, his hair, his hairbrush, his glasses, his letters, his toothbrush, his closets of clothes, where I crouch like a thief when the house, it goes dancing, a stowaway, hiding in big woolen coats, the scent of his body, the smell of him rising. We are shaken and dragged, we are rattled and whirled past the ending, his passing, who waltz out of town, all our mirrors well shattered, our china, our crystal, our light bulbs, our pictures have crashed from the walls, a magnificent mess, the doors off their hinges, the windows wide open. Let his spirit let go now, and his big broken heart. Neither sky nor horizon, neither clay nor this dust. It's as if he went racing his horse past the house as we dance him goodbye, as far as we can, as we call out goodbye with our hands round our mouths, shouting and dancing, dancing and calling to the edge of the world through the fields. The House That Goes Dancing, a poem by Deborah Diggs, from her collection The Wind Blows Through the Doors of My Heart, published by Alfred A. Knopf and used by permission here on The Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, producers of Poetry Everywhere, a new series of films featuring contemporary poets. You can find it online at poetryfoundation.org. And by Novo Nordisk, committed to changing diabetes through treatments, partnerships, and education. Defeating diabetes is our passion and our business. Produced by our technical director, Thomas Scheutzker. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.